All right, hockey fans, listen up, because we've got something special cooked up for playoff season. It's called the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge, and it's going to add some serious spice to your playoff experience. Now, here's the deal. Every playoff game, you're going to be faced with a handful of questions. It's like your own personal playoff puzzle, and it's free to join. And there are prizes, because who doesn't love winning stuff? Daily winners, you're getting hooked up with gift cards. Treat yourself to some nation gear or maybe even your favorite jersey. And for the big dogs, the people who can win an entire round, it's straight, cold, hard cash. We're talking about real dough for your hockey knowledge. So lace up those skates, stretch those thumbs, and get ready to show off your hockey IQ in the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge. Sign up today and play every game day at games.dailyfaceoff.com and prove your puck prowess.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
I'm RJ Umberger, and you're watching Nasty Knuckles.
You're listening to Nasty Knuckles, the Hockey Outlaws podcast, with your host, Derek Nasty Settemeyer, and former Philadelphia Flyer enforcer, Riley Cote, as they go behind the scenes with your favorite NHL players. Time to face off.
All right, welcome back. What's happening, Nasty?
What's up, Regalia?
Found you.
Found me. Fuck, you're in the Terra Dome there. It looked like Mad Max, Tina Turner there running around singing a song.
Something like that.
You don't even know what I'm talking about. You're too young. You don't even know what I'm talking about. Anyway, no. How was your trip, bud?
Yeah,
you
pretty...
got stuck in the mudsy?
I got stuck in the desert a couple times, two
I'd
separate
lose
times.
My mind. Got stuck out there.
Yeah, no, it was actually an amazing experience outside of the elements there that eventually came and
looked pretty
threw
cool,
some first world adversity at us. But
I'll tell you what, I'm wondering, like, I saw some of the videos, you know, you sent me, and do you think there was anyone that were sober?
Probably
because
not.
Because I saw a lot of lights, and I'm just thinking the whole mushroom and maybe other things were involved.
Yeah.
Not with you, but...
Yeah, of course not. Others. No, it was... There might have been some activity.
I didn't. I've been seeing these videos on Instagram with these people like dancing like out of control because their obviously mind is on something. And I was just waiting for one of those where this guy's just like
shaking
the fastest
relief,
dance you've ever seen. It makes me laugh when I see those. But anyway, I'm glad you made it back out of the mud.
Yeah, yeah. It was quite the experience, Nas. I think you should make the trek next year. And
I'm not good in the desert.
No,
I'm not. Seem
like a desert type of guy.
Electricity.
Well, we had some of
you
that.
Had it a little bit, but
you did.
I need, like, can I watch SportsCenter at night, like, as I'm shutting her down, or?
You probably could turn that on.
Well, I can do it on
find
my
a couple
phone,
channels
actually.
There, too. No, there's no reception.
There's no reception?
No.
Is that why our messages weren't getting through?
100%
Hey, we've
why.
Got people in studio waiting, and where are you? You're stuck in the mud.
I was stuck on my bike, cruising the playa.
You were cruising around.
Yeah, it was quite the... quite the event, Nas.
Yes,
yeah,
it looked sure. It looked really cool, honestly.
Yeah, so we're back.
Glad to have
we're
you back. Yeah, back.
Rookie camps rolling.
Really, camp really starting.
Yeah, we're back officially. It's
yeah.
No more of this putting around and waiting for you to wake
nice
up.
Nice for a little vacay, though.
Yeah, it was, yeah.
Need a little break.
Not a whole lot going on in the offseason.
You recharge the batteries a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
You know, down with the earth.
That's it.
You do that a lot.
Oh, I do that every day.
We got to do it. We got two guys in the studio today that both need haircuts and a shave. Let's make it three. One, two, three. The triumvirate.
What's wrong with this bad boy?
You guys need to clean it up.
Think so?
I don't know. I'm just saying.
Let's get a poll. Like let's get a poll going.
We should. Do you guys got a pose? I get to take the pecky. Debo, they're coming after you right away. The chicks love that baby face. You got to shave that, man.
Let's just do a...
Dude, at that party, there was like 18 chicks lined up for a picture with Deebs, and they wanted the baby face. Get back to the baby face.
The baby face assassin.
He is. This guy is the quiet killer, baby. You're like, you look like Aaron Asham over there. If you shave it up, you and Ash, they look like brothers.
Yeah, that's right. Ash, he was the baby face.
You're a little tougher than Ash, but definitely better looking. I mean, when you have that many chicks coming, yeah, I love it. He ain't said a word. I just said all that. He didn't say one word.
He's taking it in. He's like, yeah, you're right. He's like, yeah, you're right.
I wish you guys could see him. He's just like, I mean, what are you going to do? Yeah. Not a big deal.
We got you.
Hey, hockey.
Hockey. What's going on?
What do you think about the Columbus Blue Jackets? And how are they going to make up?
It's a
poor
tough
Babs,
start.
Hey?
Tough start to the org.
What start?
Tough start to training.
Did he get a start?
They didn't even get training camp going. Maybe
oh
rookie camp.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, it's, that was unexpected. I didn't see that one coming.
You didn't? I didn't know.
No, I mean, I thought there was going to be some.
I didn't think he could change. You know, like, I really didn't think. Did you
change
think
for
the
change
guy
for
could
the
change?
Worse? Or
it sounds like he may, well, it sounds like he's done this before. Well, with the pictures.
Has a coach ever been fired before he started? Has that ever happened?
Ooh, that's a great point. I'm surprised Baller didn't.
I mean, that's
know that.
Like that's impressive.
That's hard to do.
It's hard to do. There's only a few things you can do for that to happen.
Man, like, you know, it's funny because you hear Boone when he talked about it, Boone Jenner. He made it seem like it really wasn't that big a deal, but then I guess some of the kids were like, it wasn't all your family. It was like just
well,
getting
yeah.
your phone.
I'm sure each individual player was a different situation. I mean, maybe some guys, he didn't even ask for the phone, but maybe for some of the younger guys, it was a little bit more intrusive, and maybe for Boone, it was maybe more respectful, and let me see some wedding pics, but like... If it is, well, it sounds like it's truthful. I mean, some of these allegations, for sure, it wouldn't have gone the way it did if it hadn't been truthful. At least some of them, like it's wrong. I mean, that's fucked up.
I mean
it's,
do
like,
we
that's
really
crossing
need,
that line.
Do we really need to do that to coach a hockey team? I mean,
well, let's just show. Why,
how
just,
about just sit down and tell me about your family? Tell
well,
me
that's
about
it, right? It just shows you that he really hasn't evolved, and it's still that fear based coaching. It's that bullying and just dictatorship a bit, right? I mean, because like, what are you looking for? Like, I mean, is it something to hold over the player's head down the road?
Yeah,
you know,
that's actually a great. I don't think anyone else said that. That's
I mean,
actually,
what is the purpose of that? Yeah, you can learn a lot about someone's phone. Yeah, but there's also a privacy component to this. But then, like,
if you find
something, and then what? Like, the player shits the bed 2 months down the road.
Exactly.
It's like,
can you imagine if they pulled yours up?
Oh, jeez. A lot
we're
of
talking
buds.
Jail time.
Yeah, right.
We're talking jail time, boys. No, I'm kidding. But yeah, it just why start that way?
I don't know.
Start that way?
Unnecessary, but yeah, I mean, I expected this for some shenanigans to arise, like they always do.
Just not that quick.
Just not that quick and not that
before
aggressive.
Before we even started training camp.
Oh man, but yeah, that thing got carried away pretty quickly.
It makes me laugh listening to our good buddy Kami.
Oh yeah,
like. I mean, what happened to him though? Like, can you blame him for not ever like forgiving him or whatever? I don't know if that's even the word, but like when you mess with someone like that.
Yeah.
But there was warnings, man. I mean, and you could say you've changed all you want, but then you walk right in and start. And we had heard a couple stories, but people can't really put the name out there, but that he kind of started with the coaches a little bit like it's my way or, you know, that's from what we heard from pretty good sources, but he's gone and he stepped down himself.
Yeah,
so.
Well, he's forced to, right? I mean, but you know, taking it a step further, it's like with the rap he has and, you know, the complaints that have come out from different teams and players and all the good coaches that are available, like why Babs? Like,
know.
You know, like is there not a newer age, more progressive, better character guy you could pluck?
Right. Yeah.
I don't know.
Well,
man.
It sounds like the players are happy with Pascal Vincent being named that guy. And someone had told me yesterday on the phone with their organization that he had been passed over a couple times. Hmm. So, you know, he stuck around and now he's got the job. And, you know, hopefully they have a good start for him because it's, you know, like I saw Biz talking last night too. I think it was Biz. Just leave the players alone now. This is over. Let them start camp. Exactly. I mean, it's tough to do that because it's pretty big news.
Yeah.
Right. But anyway.
Yeah.
Didn't last long. We didn't even get to see a game.
Just a little bump in the road.
A little bumpsy. Where's Fro? Yeah, where's Fro?
Whose Columbus career was better, Babs or Jeff Carter?
Well, Jeff's was longer. he played games.
He dipped a toe in,
and he didn't like the temperature. It was too hot in the
Babs
hot
didn't
tub.
Get into the water.
Yeah. No, he didn't. Yeah. He didn't get the robe off. No. down to the Speedo. He didn't even get his feet in there. So, anyway, well, it's a shame.
Yeah, it is a shame. It is. Yeah, it's a shame. Like, just such unnecessary stuff, but... Life goes on.
Life goes on. And in St. Louis.
Oh, yeah.
Good friend of ours, Mr. Braden Shin, named captain.
Yeah, congrats. That's
awesome. Deserves congrats, that. Shinner. Deserving. We kind of called it. Not a big deal. We kind of called it. I talked to Chief yesterday, too, and he was really excited about it for Shinner. He loved, we know he loves Braden.
Yeah.
I don't think you could have got a better guy for it.
I agree.
Kind of brings everything to the table for your team and. Just a great, great human being, great family, his brother too, his whole family. Awesome people. So it was kind of cool to see.
Yeah, great, yeah. Yeah, power forward, good, brings all the elements, good character guy, yeah. So
he brought up, he did an interview yesterday, he was on the network, NHL Network yesterday, and he was like, they were asking about people that, you know, he kind of looked up to, and it was obviously like Pronger, G, Kimmo Tiimonen, and I thought it was cool he named Kimmo. Mm-hmm. And then obviously there's been guys like... in St. Louis that he's looked up to as well.
Sure.
So anyway, congrats, Shinner, man. Mm-hmm. Awesome, well deserved.
Yeah.
I know Chief was happy about it as well.
Yeah, let's see what looked good on him.
Yep.
What else you got there, Yogs?
35th year.
Can you believe that?
Pretty impressive, man.
Going strong.
Pretty impressive, yeah. Playing for his team. I'm assuming. I guess he's the coach, too. I don't know.
GM.
owner.
Marketing guru, Jackie Moon.
Yeah. Jackie Moon. No bear wrestling, though.
No.
I don't think, anyway. Man, it's impressive, Yogs. He's just keeps going.
Yeah.
It's interesting. It'll be interesting to see his numbers over there, because it is the top league, right? But the fact that he's still playing, it's crazy. But he's in shape.
You may as well keep riding it, you know. I've heard him talk about it before. He's like he's married to the game, and he'll keep playing as long as he physically can, and knowing that eventually will come to an end. You know, he's like a kid, right? I mean, he's like you're playing the game, you love it, and getting paid and living the life, man. Why not?
God, it's crazy. It's unbelievable.
Good for him. And what else we got, Nass?
We with Keith Jones. Being named the president of the Flyers, they needed to fill in the role for TV, and they did that with our good friend Brian Boucher.
Yeah, Boucher, we got to get him back on.
Yeah, we got to get Boucher on.
Yeah, congrats,
Boucher. To him. He does a really good job. He does a really good job. Yeah. Obviously, he was doing a great job with NBC and ESPN and all of that. So it's good to snag him. I don't know if he'll still do games. I'm not really sure how that works because Jonesy would do games.
Yeah.
So, I'm sure he might still do some other teams, games. But congrats to Boosh. He does a great job. Was able to see him a couple weeks ago at the Phantoms thing. It was awesome. Mm-hmm. Still looks good in shape.
Doing funny a great as hell, job. Yeah.
Yeah, funny. God, he's funny. I wish he could really be Boo when he's on there. Yeah, but I mean, he's a professional.
Yeah,
he's a professional.
For sure. And the boys are back, right? It's on.
It's
rookie
on.
Camp's a wrap, and main camp is officially on.
Baller went to a preseason game. How'd that go, Baller?
Not great. The Rangers kind of bullied them in both games, and I think a lot of the forwards who you're hoping can push for a lineup spot, they didn't really perform at their best or expected, but, you know, knocking the rust off, possible. Rocking the rust off, so we'll see.
That's cool.
Well, they got camp, a few preseason games to make up for those games.
I'm sure there's not a
whole lot of stock in those rookie games, but just seeing what
unless you're Bedard and you bury five, and that's all everybody's talking about.
Well, not bad.
He doesn't have a muffin for a shot.
His release kind of looks like yours. Kind of looks like yours, Nass, off the wing.
I'm not going to lie.
Pulling it a foot in and snapping it.
I just snap the thing, you know, like, see what happens.
It's not bad. He might score 60 this year.
Well, listen, I'm going on that bet you and I made off air here. You're thinking he's not going to get 20. I'm saying he's going over
20
for 500. Debo, you heard that, right?
You were saying the over-under has got to be 40, not 30.
You said Crosby 20. Had 39. You said 20.
I never said 20.
Yeah, you said that.
Debo 39, and Ovechkin had 52 his first year, so the over-under has to be 40. I would say closer to 50, but...
You think he's going to score
50? He scored over 40.
What?
Yes.
You think so?
Do you see that shot? Mark can shoot anywhere and probably score a goal.
I'm not saying obviously he can, but like it's a little bit different game.
Oh, it is for sure.
40's a lot.
But he is in that same bracket, that caliber as Crosby and Ovechkin, and you know, list off those first round picks that have performed.
All right, well, this is great. Well, so we have our first bet where you said he wouldn't get 20. I'm taking that one. Now you're going 40 on the show. So the 40 on the show is what you can go with.
Okay.
But that's with the 20 bet that we had off air.
He'll get that before Christmas. So, no?
Oh, my God. He might.
He'll play top line with a couple good players. He hopefully gets a little help.
He's going to have pairs out there with him, like clear in space.
Clear in space.
Chopping guys. Don't come near this kid. He's
ripping pucks in the slot. Everyone will go in, probably.
Yeah. Oh, he can shoot the puck, man. It's insane.
I think we're ready to rock.
We do actually have a little breaking news.
Oh, breaking news.
Breaking news.
Well, first, Brad Marchand was just named captain of the Bruins.
Right.
But also, the Flyers just announced their promotional schedule for the season. And they announced that on January 6th against the Calgary Flames, they will host an Ed Snyder legacy game.
Yeah. Appreciate the news, baller. Look at that. Real time.
That's real time stuff, boys.
Yep. That's real time.
That's real time stuff.
You're not going to get it anywhere else but here.
You're not getting that anywhere else, Debo, eh? Debo's writing his shit down. Look at him.
Well, we're ready to rock your Nass.
Let's do it.
126.
With our boy.
RJ Umberger.
Cheesy. Let's go.
Let's go. Welcome back. I'm Riley Cote.
And I'm Derek Settlemyer. And this week, we're very excited to have a good friend on the show, a former first-round pick, Rick, 16th overall by the Vancouver Canucks. Mm-hmm. Luckily, ended up here with us in Philly. Currently in Columbus, where he spent a lot of time. Let's please welcome Mr. RJ Umberger. Cheesy, what is up, my friend?
Hey, guys. How you doing? Thanks for having me. Hey, just wanted to congratulate you guys on the success of the podcast. It's been great, man.
Oh, thank you, man. Thank you so much. It's been a lot of fun.
So what's going on? It's been a while. It's been a minute.
Yeah. No, it's been a while. Time flies. It's hard to believe. But, just enjoying life with the kids and the family, man. It's been a whirlwind. You know, just fortunate to be lucky to enjoy every aspect of them growing up. Their sports and just being a dad. So, you know, I'm loving it right now.
It's amazing. It's so much fun. I mean, I miss what I used to do, but not like I thought I would, because I'm getting to be with Elvis and watch him now, you know, try to become an athlete and have fun and put him on a school bus. And you just can't, you know, it's just some things just don't equal up to that. It's a lot of fun. So I hear what you're saying. And you have a sick pool, which I want to come do some dunks. He's got the sickest basketball. Yeah. I got a great basketball goal in my pool, Cheesy, but yours is like in the cement, so you can hang on that thing. I love it.
Yeah, the setup in our backyard is pretty good. It definitely helps with passing time. It's the one thing probably when we built this house here. I think we built it back when my last year there in Philly. So we were super excited about the backyard. That's kind of where we spend most of our time and have some pool parties, and the kids invite all their sports teams over, and we have a good old time in this backyard. Yeah,
yeah, that's awesome. It's so cool.
Certainly helps keep the kids occupied.
Yeah, right.
Well, we kind of the kids are going to do their things, man. We kind of want them at our house, so we can see what they're up to and make sure they're safe.
Exactly.
That's smart, especially when you're dealing with mine, Elvis, because this kid. There's something wrong with him.
You have to build a cage.
I need a cage in the backyard for this guy, but. Cheesy. So we were kind of going back and forth. I saw a picture. I was telling Riles I saw a great at the Pittsburgh Penguins new practice facility. Well, I think it's been there a while, but they have this wall of players that are from Pittsburgh that made it to the NHL and played. And RJ was on there. So I was like, oh my God, I got to take a selfie with RJ, even though I'm not seeing him. So I sent it. We started chit chatting. But you're coaching now, 18U and 16U teams?
Yeah, yeah. So I'm dabbling in a little bit of coaching. I coach my son's team also. He's 10U house hockey. So I've been doing that for about 4 or 5 years. But yeah, I also do 16U and 18U. Here in Ohio, we call it pre-post. So it's a preseason and postseason team. We're not allowed to do both high school hockey and travel hockey, any kind of full season USA hockey team at the same time. So these are kids that play in the local high school hockey here in Ohio. And then that doesn't start up until November. So they're allowed to play in kind of a travel team, so to say, double A, for a couple months, you know, before and after. And that's what we do. We put this team together and go to 4 or 5 tournaments and play 20 plus games and have about 20, 25 hours of practice. And then they get to go off to their high school season and everything. So we also compete for national championship. We try to. So there's end of the season when their high school is over, we can come back together and then play in like a state tourney in which we'd play against like the full season teams, and the winners would go to tier 2 nationals. So it's fun. It gives us these guys something else that just want a little bit more than high school. And there's some good players, some good kids. And I enjoy coaching at that level.
Nice. Wow, that's awesome. It sounds like it's not like, it's commitment, but it's not like full schedule commitment where you're locked in the coach's office for a full season, right? Is that kind of a little more space or is it still pretty heavy?
That's exactly it. So it's, I run it so I could pretty much, make up my schedule and do it on my time. I do it around my kids', soccer games and whatnot. And
nice.
You know, and it allows me, it gets me involved. It gets me something to do, something to look forward to, the competitive edge there, coaching, and able to work with some players and see the feedback and everything that they, it's great. And like you said, it's not full season. So like when October start or November starts, I go and coach my son's team and it allows me to be there for him full time. So
I would be finding this rink no one knows about and sneaking practices in so I get to the national championship. I'm kidding. No, it sounds cool, man. Because hockey's such a commitment. Obviously, you know that growing up playing and Riggs, obviously you, but my son, like I never knew how much of a commitment it was, the early mornings.
Oh yeah.
And we were in Rochester a couple weeks ago, played six games, in 3 days. They come home and a full on three practices during the week, a private, he's a goalie. Cheesy. He's a goalie, man. What am I going to do? I don't know what to do.
What's
about
wrong
it.
With him?
Hexy. I know. Yeah. Well, Hexy told me, good. Hexy told me when Elvis was like 4 or 5, he's like, just fire one of those outdoor hockey balls right off his forehead tonight. He'll never do it again. And I'm like, dude, he's like 4. He goes, yeah, but he'll never want to play goalie. Yeah, he's
still in the pipes.
Maybe I should have done
still
that,
in the pipes, yeah.
But it's fun, and it's a big commitment, like you said, Cheesy. So it's kind of cool how you guys work that out.
Yeah, it's crazy, man. These kids, like 6, 7 years old, they start, they're going in the mornings every day before school. And yep. These kids are living at their rinks more than I think we ever did. And, I think that the level of commitment that you want is there for different, as much as you want or as little as you want. But the kids that are putting in the time, it's just, they're so good nowadays. Like these kids are so skilled and, from all the private lessons, the skating, the stick handling, the YouTube videos, these things, kids doing the stuff at home. It's just a whole nother level.
It is. Yeah. You're building off that. I mean, I always kind of like struggle with like, how OCD you have to become. Like, we were kind of all OCD in our own ways, right? We were obsessed with hockey and we loved to get on the ice, pond, local rinks, whatever it was, like any ice time. But I almost feel like it's gone to a whole nother level of like, is this healthy for some of these kids? Like, I guess it's certainly better than like being on the streets or being in trouble and stuff like that, but like my god, like these 5, 6, 7 year old kids are like better skaters than I ever was as pro, and like the amount of skill and video work and all, you said the privates and the whole thing, it's like
it's
that's crazy.
It's a legit question to ask. I mean, it could be a problem. These kids are putting in so much time. You worry about burnout. You worry about injury. You worry about just other aspects. I mean, I know I'm still a big proponent of playing multiple sports. You know, I still think that's the way to go. Like, that's what we did growing up. That's what I did. I think it makes you a well-rounded athlete. I think it teaches other lessons in life, you know, more friends, you know, not everybody's going to make it, you know, to the highest level. So I think there's just important aspects that need to be looked at. These kids, man, like they're like, at what point is it too much? You know, I think for some it's, you know, if they're truly enjoying it and that's really what they want to do and that's their personal choice, you get some players that just love being at the rink so much that that's all they think about. They want to watch hockey and you know, nonstop at home. And if that's what they want to do and that's their passion, I mean, it's hard to tell them no. But at the same time, it's if it's being forced on any of these kids, it's, you know, it's, I don't think it's the right route.
Yeah, well, I agree with you. And we talk about this a lot. You know, it's the parents' passion for some of these kids. It's what, you know, and it is hard because I wonder, like, for you, I was going to ask you, like, you were a competitive guy, obviously played in the National Hockey League. As a coach, are you able to, like, pull yourself back and, you know, like, because I know sometimes with Elvis, like, I'm not coaching him this year, but, like, I'm anxious for him, and I don't want him to know that I'm nervous because I don't want to make him nervous or feel like he's under pressure. Christ, he's 8 years old, right? Like, just turned 9. But how do you go about that with coaching, especially your son?
Yeah, it's a challenge. I think with the older kids, you know, since it's not a AAA level and it's not a full season, it helps that these guys are, yeah, they want to get better and they want to prepare for their high school season, but it's not to the highest degree, right? And, you know, I'm there to help them get them better, but, you know, and it's not a crazy, crazy commitment. So it's a little bit easier in that regard. And my son, you know, like, so the one thing, he's more of a house player. He's not overly serious about kind of any sport. He plays a lot of sports. He likes it, but the kid likes just being a kid. He likes playing video games and he likes being on his iPad and he likes, you know, going outside and just different things like that, right? Like, so he's not how I was growing up where I was that kid that couldn't stop, right? Whether it was baseball, hockey, I was, hey dad, let's go practice. Let's go hit balls. I'm going to go shoot in the driveway as soon as I got home from school. He's not like that. And I noticed that right from the get-go. So for him, you know, it's about having fun, right? Like he just wants to go on the ice. He wants to have fun. He wants to be with other kids on the ice. It's, his passion for it is not the same as other kids. So to treat him like that, it would be unfair. Right. So, you know, I've done a pretty good job, you know, as early on, just recognizing it and just, being a dad for him more than to being a coach for him. I think he says we're hockey buddies and that's good enough for me. Right. He just likes being there, being on the ice. And, you know, I just want to see him have fun.
Yeah, I was just saying, like, how important what you just said is, you know, for parents to discern, like, where their child is at. Like, and it's okay to not be fully committed. It's okay to just want to play hockey for the love of the game and just play and having no pressure and just being able to know where your child is at, you know? Because I think what you're alluding to, Nass, is, like, a lot of this pressure and the problem comes from the parents. And you're forcing them into this hole that, I mean, realistically, if you want to ever have a chance of playing at the highest level these days, like you almost have to choose hockey full time, like, as your primary sport at the age of 5 or 6, it seems like, you know, like there's no space for anything else. But I think to preserve your child's mental health, like discerning, like, where is your child at? Like, is this guy even want to be a pro, or does he even want to attempt to be, you know, an elite player? I think that would solve a lot of problems and fully respect that. And, yeah, I think a lot of parents should listen to that message, honestly. Yeah. It's pretty important. So appreciate that. It's
important as a parent to just be honest with what, you know, what the situation is. I mean, my son Matthew is never going to play at the highest level. He just, you know, is not going to. And I'm okay with that. And I'm just there to support him and make sure he has fun. And, you know, I think it's, you know, as parents, we shouldn't put pressure on our kids to have to be, especially as a ex-pro player. Like, you know, I think people assume that, oh, your son's probably pretty good, he's gonna go to the NHL someday too. You know, it doesn't have to be that way. Like, you know, as ex-pros, we don't need to put that pressure on our sons to fill a certain, you know, idea for them.
Yeah,
yeah, totally. Yeah,
that's an important message for sure.
Yeah. for sure.
Well, good on you. Recognize that.
Yeah.
I think that's probably a struggle for a lot of former players too, right? When you have kids, you'd be like, yeah, son, you know, you're doing this and I'm going to spend all this time to help you become the best player you can be, which seems like be a natural progression, but also recognizing if the child actually wants to do that or not is important too. So.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Good stuff. Moving on. Yeah. That's what we got.
Yeah. So you play your college hockey at Ohio State University. Fucking good numbers too, Cheesy. Every year, all 3 years you were there. What was that experience like for you? Like coming out of the junior you were playing. I know you were playing the USA, but it says the NHL. You played in the NHL. Was that, how did that work? Or the USHL as well?
Yeah, so that was the first couple of years of the U.S. program. And back then, the 17 team, under 17 team played in the North American League, and then the under 18 team played in the USHL League. We played a full schedule. And it wasn't until after I left that they adopted a little bit of the college schedule for the older group. And then I honestly don't even know what it's at now, what they're playing in, but it changes all the time. But, you know, back then it was, you were part of those two leagues.
Yeah, I noticed that. I noticed that because I'm actually working for a team here, Philadelphia Rebels, in the North American Hockey League. And I was like, oh, man, they don't have that anymore. Obviously, it was a while ago. But I just wondered how that worked with that. But that makes sense, I guess, you know, having the one in the NHL and then the USHL is the, you know, higher level, obviously. It's the next level up. Best junior league in the U.S. anyway. So, but how was it playing at OSU, man? That must have been like, obviously the football is huge, but you got a pretty good damn hockey program there.
Yeah, the hockey program is really taken off and done good things in the past few years. You know, when I went there in 2000, you know, it was the tension to make this a program that just is every year one of the ones you're talking about. And we had some good players there and some really good years. You know, guys like Dave Steckel, Ryan Kessler was there, Nate Ginnon was there. You know, probably forgetting a bunch of guys, but I mean, we had, you know, Rod Pelle played for New Jersey, a bunch of pros there early on, and we had some good years. And, you know, unfortunately, we didn't win a national championship or anything. We went to the NCAA tournament a couple of years, but so many great memories. I think that's the best part about it is that the year I was there, I had 11 guys in my class, so my freshman class. So we were really tight. I had a lot of really good friends that I'm still in touch with today. And a good amount of the Ohio State guys still live here in Columbus and they stay here. And that's one of the many reasons why I chose to stay in Columbus to retire and live. And, you know, we have a good group of alumni to see each other, golf, hang out, go to football games, get together with the hockey alumni. And those things are just, it's important and a lot of fun. And I'm proud of where the program's heading right now. You know, the Big Ten hockey that they made about 7, 8, 9 years ago is done great for the program. And it's really made the conference well. And, you know, they play against Minnesota and Michigan. And it's a lot of fun. It's a good program right now.
Yeah, that's awesome. That'd be cool too, going with a bunch of friends. You all went there, and you go to the football. Obviously, is a shit show. Yeah. The tailgate, if you're tailgating anyway, right? It's just so much fun. So
the football years were unbelievable. So when I went on a few visits, right, to different schools and like Notre Dame and Michigan State and you know whatever, a couple other and I went. I came to Ohio State for a football. Well, it was a visit, and it was a football Saturday, and. It happened to be a night game against UCLA. So, like, I went to the rink in the early morning, watched the guys, you know, practice, you know, headed over to one of the guys' house at, like, I don't know, 12 o'clock. And, you know, here we go. It started, right? Yeah. So, the fun and the shenanigans all began. And, you know, and just getting a taste of what this football Saturday is like, hanging around the guys. And, you know, we go to the game for a little bit at night and go to a little party afterwards. And, you know, it's just – I got up the next morning and I met for breakfast with the assistant coach and was like, yeah, it's a good time. You know, this is great. He gave me his spiel. And I remember I called up Davey Poland a couple of days later. I was supposed to go on a visit to Notre Dame. I said, yeah, I'm not going to be coming on that visit.
Just give, at least you did that for him, you know.
Yeah.
That's awesome. I can imagine you. Were you a little hungover having that meeting with the assistant coach? Oh,
yeah, 100%.
Yeah. Although when you're young like that, it's not as hard to
No. Recover quicker.
But
for sure.
That's great, man. Well, that's actually great recruiting by OSU.
Oh, yeah.
Bring the boys in on it when you know there's a home football game. That's awesome. So if you can, Cheesy, like, so you're a first round pick taken by Vancouver, like I said earlier. What was the process there? You ended up with us in Philly. Obviously, your first year being that lockout year, which was one of the best years of my life. But can you kind of walk us through that?
Yeah, I'd say it's a bizarre process. I think probably not the way you want to start out your career, but, you know, I did it anyway. So, you know, back then when you leave college, well, I was able to go back to school for a couple of years after I got drafted by Vancouver. And, you know, after my junior year, like I said, I had a pretty good year. Was ready to go. The coach Ohio State was like, yeah, it's time for you to move on. Vancouver was ready for me to move on. And, you know, we couldn't negotiate anything. The Vancouver with Brian Burke, it got really hardball. And at that time, it was before they changed the CBA and, you know, rookies were getting the big bonuses, the full rookie contract, you know, it wasn't even about the money. I think as a first round pick, you know, all the priority or the, it was established that pretty much that you got all the bonuses, the full contract, and it's just how it was. Right. And they were just lowballing me. And, you know, so at first we're kind of like going back and forth, and then it got to the point where like they started discrediting my values, and, you know, Burke started, you know, just taking some shots in the papers and the medias, and it got personal at that point. And that's where it kind of, the negotiation changed. And, you know, I sat there with my agents and we had to make a decision. Do we take their offer and their, you know, them going after my character and things like that. And, or do we hold out and take the risk of, you know, not playing hockey for a full year, because being a college player, you couldn't go back. Once you start negotiating, you're done. Like, And then they also held your rights for the full year. So I couldn't even go to Europe to play. I couldn't go do anything. So we made the choice, you know. I think maybe we thought maybe things would change. They probably thought I wouldn't sit out the whole year. And, you know, after a bunch of different failed attempts and, you know, them actually coming back with more, even worse offers when it was insulting, that we just said, hey, we're going to do it. Right. And my agent at the time, Mike Liu and Brian Lawton, were really good, and you know they're completely accurate about everything. They said that there's probably going to be a lockout the next season. You know, they were pretty certain, and they said, you know, you'll have a chance to go play in the A for a year, and you know, catch up on that year that you missed, and you know, you'll have the opportunity to get back to full speed and prove everybody wrong. And then, you know, we'll see what happens after that. So in my eyes, I was like, okay, well, I don't really want to be sitting out, but, all right, I'll just keep training. I'll get, you know, fired up more and I'll get myself stronger. I viewed it as I had an injury, but I didn't, right? Guys have injuries, knee injuries. They sit out a year and whatever. And, I didn't have that. So I was just getting stronger. I was working out. What I end up doing is I end up going and skating with the U.S. program in Michigan, just practicing with them. And
and waiting till it came like the December 31st. If I didn't have a contract by December 31st, it was pretty much like, all right, it's not going to happen. So that happened. I went back home and was just kind of just off ice for a while in the new year. And I don't know if you guys remember the Bertuzzi incident with Colorado when he got suspended for the rest of the year for, I think, hitting more.
Oh, yeah, right.
Yep, sure do.
Yeah, so Vancouver had a good year. That happened right before the deadline, and so they had to make a move. They end up trading my rights to the Rangers, and they think they got, like, Martin Ruzynski or somebody for the deal and whatever. So, now all of a sudden, a trade deadline, I'm with the Rangers now, and it's like, okay, well, you haven't been skating in a couple of months. They bring me in to skate with the team. You know, I'm skating with Jágr all of a sudden. I go on a road trip. I actually came to Philly for one of their games. I traveled to Philly, and that's another story. You know, just sitting in the meal room with me and Jágr by ourselves in the meal room.
Oh, so, my God.
Yeah, it was a wild ride, and you know, next thing you know, and then I go down to Hartford for a week to practice with them, and you know, waiting to negotiate a contract with New York. And at this point, like, you know, I've sat out 6 months or whatever it was. I was so close to free agency at 22 years old, which is unheard of, right? So, we couldn't come to an agreement with the Rangers. They wanted me to play on a PTO. And what they really wanted was they wanted the compensation second round pick if they didn't. That's kind of what they traded for, right? They didn't really trade to sign me. They traded to get that pick. So I didn't sign with them. I didn't take the PTO. And my agents were pretty certain on June 1st that I was going to have some teams ready. And sure enough, Philly and Toronto were two of the teams that were aggressive on that first day. And, you know, I came in. It was kind of weird because I did like a recruiting visit. I went to Toronto, met with Ferguson, and I came to Philly. You know, I met with Holmgren, picked me up, met with Clark, sat down with Hitch in his office, and then made my decision right then and chose Philly.
Yeah, great decision, by the way.
Yeah. No, I was going to say it worked out well. Yeah,
sure. Yeah, it all worked out. It's crazy. People don't understand like how effed up it can get with things like that. I appreciate you walking us through that because it is tough, especially when you're still young. It's not like you're 18, but you're still a young kid. And, you know, you're trying to, you made the right decision. It sounded like you were advised well too by the guys
it really
that were
does.
In charge of,
it was hard because, like, you know, obviously you don't want to start out that way. And then you start getting your character attacked by Vancouver. And then you sit out the year and people start saying, well, you know, you probably ruined your career, right? Like, you know, who's this kid not signing a contract? Who's he think he is? You know, you sat out a whole year, you know, how are you going to recover? It just, you know, people saying like, you know, what a bad decision was. And I just didn't believe that. I, like I said, my family, we stuck to our values of what we thought was right. And that's kind of what it was. It's just what we felt was right. Yeah. And, we took a gamble and, you know, basically just kind of bet on myself and, you know, things happen for a reason.
Yeah, for sure. And then, you know, they were right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right with the lockout. And what a year that was, RJ. You were, you know, rookie, I think you scored 21 goals that year, 44 helpers. I don't care if you're 22, you're still a rookie playing with men now. And that was
probably the best league there was at that point in time
because everyone had their prospects, you know, with the American League team. And it was just, we've talked about this a lot. We've had guys on before, but it was one of the best years I ever had. I mean, it was so much fun with you guys.
Yeah, that year was a blast. I mean, and you're right, it was the best AHL you probably ever was. I mean, the amount of NHL guys that were down, and that was another thing that my agents kind of predicted too about that. So we knew I was going to be in good hands, and the Philly team was just so much fun. I think, what did we go on a run of like 20-some games?
Yeah, it was crazy. I can't believe that got broken. Norfolk ended up breaking that.
Shattered.
I can't believe it got broken here. But I mean, it was just stupid. Like we were so good, and the guys were awesome, and we had a good time hanging out together. And you know, anytime you win a championship, your first year, it's like, all right, this is great. You know, like. Here we
is
are.
It this easy?
Nice bounce.
Not
back
that it was easy, but
No, and it was so cool in Philly too because like we were the main event, you know, for hockey, and you know, and it's, you know, 17,000 fans in the final game, and you know, we're going wild and we're celebrating, you know, in the locker room, like this was amazing, and
It was such a fun, memorable year with a lot of guys that I ended up playing, you know, a few years with. So it was a good time.
Yeah, it was to me that team, like, you know, you had a lot of good players, a lot of guys with points, but no selfishness on that team at all. Yeah. I felt like,
well, a lot of guys that hadn't played NHL games yet.
Yeah.
Went on to play games.
And
as
then
you were talking
the following
about
year, I mean, even yourself, you started the, I think, 8 games you played with the Phantoms that following year, and then you were gone. See, no more American League for you the rest of your career. But, and then you end up scoring 20 goals in 72, 73 games with the Flyers. So, I mean, you're obviously meant to be playing there, but it's pretty damn impressive.
Yeah, it was just, you know, a good group of guys, like you said, good veterans, guys like Sim and Slaney. Slaney was, you know, such a good leader. And, you know, these guys, like you said, there was no selfishness. You know, we brought in Richards and Carter right there at the end. And it was, you know, it was like we didn't miss a beat. Like everybody just loved having them there. And, you know, they stepped right into top minutes, you know, and guys just went with it. And we were just a good cohesive group. And, you know, Coach Stevens too. I mean, you got to talk about Johnny. Like he was mm-hmm. a good coach for young guys, in my opinion. So, you know, for him to be able to manage all these different talents and, you know, guys that had success at different levels, you know, so I think that says a lot for him and, you know, why he's had success at every level as a coach too. So it was just a good combination of guys. So,
yeah, I agree with that. I mean, it probably was arguably one of the best teams I've been on as far as like individual character, teams, you know, team bonding, just guys, good chemistry, right? Everyone kind of knew their role. And I don't think we had anybody in like top 20 in scoring. It was like we scored by committee, right?
And yeah,
everyone's
spread out.
It's just hard to play against. We're just like, yeah, it was just like you think of a team, you know, you think of like a good team, like that was just like a solid team all around, like on the ice, off the ice.
Yeah,
you know,
just you're like, right though. Like I definitely would not have been one to be on another team playing against us with a paddle.
Yeah.
We had, I mean, up there, it was just ridiculous who we had, you know, yourself and Friggy and Grattan. I mean, like, it was crazy.
Yeah.
We could get you on the scoreboard and then we could get you, you know, on the ice, the gloves on the ice there. But
yeah,
it was just a great mix and a great year, man. God, I remember that. What was the game? Was it against Scranton where your line, he just started rolling you guys. Grat scored. Yeah.
Yeah.
Was it the first round? Yeah. I mean, that was just, like that said so much about the team. We were losing 5-1. And I remember Johnny throwing these guys out there and a few big hits. Next thing you know, there's a goal. I mean, it was just by committee. Everyone was on the same page and everyone was so excited when your guys did that. Like, because like that's what a team does. Like you said, it was awesome. It was a great game.
And we had such good goaltending. Nitty was so good. Litz was great. And Litz was the, you know, best person I've ever seen in hockey. So, I mean, you have a guy like that in your locker room. It was just kept everybody calm and laughing. And like it was just such a unique group that, you know, it's hard to get that kind of assembled group again.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the truth. Yeah. Yeah, you could play hockey for years and years and years and never have a you know, be on a team like that, you know, never experience something like that, which is something special for sure. So then moving on, you know, you obviously became a full-time NHL player after that, a couple years with the Flyers and then moving on to Columbus. They talk about like that transition of just like, you know, you had a solid first year in the NHL and you can move on to scoring, I think 5 years in a row, over 20 goals in a row there a year. Just establishing yourself, how the confidence kind of continues to grow. Talk about like your progression as a pro.
Yeah. So, you know, I got into that, like you said, about 10 games into that rookie year, I got up to the big club and just kind of didn't look back there. I think, you know, Hitch was a good coach for me. He kind of, you know, I think he appreciated the honest way I played the game. I appreciated him as a coach. He was tough on us, tough on Karts, Richie, me. But, you know, I look back on it and, you know, I'm very thankful for you know, what he did for us. You know, he didn't allow us to cheat the game. You know, and, you know, especially me, like he demanded that I play it harder. And it was a transition for me because I was used to kind of playing more a skill game growing up and even into college. So when I came to Philly, you know, I transitioned to more of like in the corners, along the boards, in front of the net, and that kind of stuff. And slowly, as my career went on, I got better at that. So I'm thankful for him doing that for me. And you know, the first year, you know, it went well. You know, I think I got on a line late there in the year with Jeff and I think it was Nico, and you know, we did well. And I remember us being in the office almost every day with Hitch, because you know, he wasn't crazy about having these young guys as his second line, you know. So
yeah,
but we did good. You know, we like you said, 20 goals, and Cartsy had a great year too, and you know, gained a lot of confidence after that first year, and had a decent playoff run for us. We lost in the first round, but you know, it was just a good experience overall, seeing guys like Forsberg and Gagne, and just playing. And Forsberg wasn't there yet, but just, you know, seeing this and learning at this level, it was great. And then, you know, as the expectations for the second year was huge. Unfortunately, I came off that bad concussion that I had in the playoffs. I think everybody remembers that hit. And
oh, Campbell,
you know,
yeah.
Yeah, that changed me for a little while. It's I was not right. I wasn't the same person over the summer. I didn't feel well. I went to the World Championships there for right at the end of the season, and I had to leave. I felt so bad, and I was trying to play with, you know, just do things with that head injury. And you know, I think back then we didn't know about the history that we know now, and you know, the stigma was different. So, you know, I tried to get through the summer, and I couldn't train, and I just wasn't myself. And by the time I did start feeling healthy, it was, you know, right before camp. And I know I came into camp probably about the worst shape that I've been for any training camp, and just got off to a terrible start. I think I was a little gun shy out there, and you know, I think it didn't help that our team struggled mightily that second year. And you know, we end up being the worst team in the league, and you know, it was my worst season by far. Well, one of my worst seasons, and you start to you know, question yourself. You know, what's going on here? And you know, it was the first year of fluke and whatnot, and so you quickly wanted to put the second year behind. And I think as an organization, they did too. And thankfully, you know, Philly still believed in me and the other young guys, and kept us there and gave us another chance for that third year. And I remember, you know, when that year ended, I said, I'm never coming into camp the way I felt like that ever again. So what I actually did was, you know, my cousin who worked with me pretty much my entire life in training, I said, hey, come out and live with me for the summer. And he quit his insurance job, and we built a gym in the basement, and we just attacked it like every day, two times a day. And just really trained hard, and I went into camp that year feeling very confident. I felt faster on the ice, and ended up having a third year that really, you know, transitioned my career to a different level. You know, it was a funny year. Like there was some ups and downs, and you know, we had some losing streaks. I remember one time we lost 10 games in a row.
Yeah.
But you know, like as a group, we end up going to, you know, the semis there. And it was again another fun year for me personally. You know, it was a weird year. Like I felt, you know, better than ever. You know, I put up, you know, a lot of points and everything, but I couldn't score goals. It was weird. Like I was hitting posts, and just my shooting percentage was god awful. And it was just like, what's going on here? You know, but it's just one of those things. And we had that playoff run, and I had a 10 game strand in the playoffs where everything just came together, and you know, like I said, it changed the course of my career.
Yeah, they had signs up in Montreal. They were looking. They did not want you stepping anywhere near Montreal. 8 goals in 5 games. I just remember.
Yeah.
Anything? I mean, you were feeling it, man. It must have looked like a soccer net to you when you were shooting, and you know, it was Carey Price in that.
Yeah.
I mean, let's not forget. But boy, were you on fire. Wow. 8 goals, 5 games, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was one of the high points of my career for sure. It was just, you know, you get in that zone, and it's that the elite guys can get in that zone more than anybody else, right? And so just to feel it, you know, at one moment, it was something else. You come into the rink, just the confidence that you had, knowing that you were going to play well. And let's not forget, like, the whole team was playing well. It was easy to play well when the team is playing at that level. And, you know, you're just the energy that we had in the, you know, playing in Montreal with that, the fans, and like, oh, it was awesome. Then going home to our crowd, it was such a fun stretch of five games, and there's nothing better than making that crowd in Montreal just jumping up into the glass and like, you know,
yeah,
it's just, those were some of the memories. It was probably one, you know, the best stretch of five, six game stretch that I ever had in my career.
Yeah, no doubt.
Awesome.
I was going to ask you, RJ, you know, I remember playing with you, and you know, I was talking to Nasty before you hopped on, just about like, I always remember you being like a progressive guy as far as like training. I remember you had the tent, you know, the high altitude tent in your house, and you know, a few other things. Was that year you talked about when you hired your cousin as your trainer? Were you already into that kind of stuff, or was that just like part and parcel of, you know, you like making the decision to kind of elevate your game through training?
I think I've always been a guy off the ice that took it pretty seriously. You know, from he took me under his wings late high school, and then okay. I think U.S. program, right? Like they train you like pretty seriously. We're boxing, whatever. So like I kind of just got the grasp of this training thing pretty early. And in college, it's similar, right? Like it was a lot of like probably back then a lot of football training. Like we were just real heavy and hard and a lot, right? So. But I think that year it just switched to a whole new level. I was willing to do whatever it took to not have another year like I did. You know, I wanted to have a long career in the NHL, and I remember going to Jimmy McCrossin that year. I was like, hey, like you guys, I heard you guys had that oxygen tent, you know, like, hey, can I use it? And so he let me borrow it, and I set it up in one of our spare bedrooms. And, you know, for that year, I slept in a different bedroom than my wife every night of the season, and just was looking for, you know, any way to just be a little bit better, a little bit, you know, and like my oxygen, like was my VO2 was always one of my weaker things in my career. Just naturally, like I think I suffered from a hereditary bad VO2, and so I was always a challenge for me to try to improve that more and more every year. And I ended up buying like a personal one later on in my career where I was, it would just go over my head while I was sleeping in my bed. So I always got a lot of, you know, ball busting for it. But
yeah. Like it worked, you know? Face it, helmet on.
What's the wife saying?
Like it worked, so.
Hey,
what's the wife saying? Turn it over at you.
Bubble wrap on. Oh, hey.
It's like, what the hell?
Yeah.
Just worried about my VO2 here, babe.
Yeah. Gonna get 20 again. Oh, that's great, man. So you end up back, you end up going to Columbus, and like Riley said, he had four straight years of 20 plus goals. And Hitch, right? Like, yeah, RJ, play the right way. You probably heard that once or twice, right?
Yeah.
My favorite one was he said to Uppy that day when he was coaching St. Louis and they were in town. Uppy, and he was like, he told Uppy, you're not in the lineup tonight. And Uppy's like, yes, I am. I'm playing. And he's like, you're playing the game sideways. And he goes, what the fuck does that mean, Hitch?
What does that mean?
What does that mean? He goes, I'm in. And he's like, okay, then. And he let him stay in the lineup. He played against us that night. But anyway, Hitch was good to me. I enjoyed it. He liked you too.
Yeah.
He liked Ross too.
Yeah.
But I got along with him. Anyway, you end up there in Columbus, and man, you lit it up. You know, you had a great career while you were there.
Yeah, it was a great change of scenery for me. You know, finishing up that playoffs in Philly, and you know, obviously, you know, I had a good playoff, so my contract was up, and you know, with salary cap issues, and you know, he had contracts for Jeff and Richie, and just different things like that. I knew there was a chance that I was probably going to get moved, and. You know, I wanted to stay. I wanted to keep building off what we had, but you know, I knew the way the business worked, and you know, I got on a draft day. I was actually heading down to vacation down Hilton Head, and you know, I got the calls with some friends, and got the call from Hitch that actually they just traded for me, and you know, so it was the first wind of that, and it was just you know, trying to deal with it. My first thoughts were, you know, I can't believe I'm going to Columbus. You know, I just left there from Ohio State, like, you know, so many other places, and then talking with the Hitch a little bit more, and then starting to talk to people back in Columbus. I got really excited about it and went there for a visit, and you know, talked to Nash and different guys, and
was excited about what they were trying to do there, because, you know, obviously a team that hadn't been in the playoffs much or at all. And I was excited to be a big part of that. And, you know, talking to Hitch, that was the plan. And Scott Housen, they wanted me a big part of it. And so I went there with some confidence and excitement. And you know, that first year, I remember getting off to a terrible start, you know, probably 8-10 games without a goal or anything. And I just remember talking to Hitch, like, what am I going to do, you know? And so he helped me through that and turned it around and had a really good first year there. And just loved being in this community, this area, being an Ohio State guy and a Blue Jacket. It just felt right from the get-go. It was great having a group of friends with the Ohio State guys that I could get away from the rink sometimes when we had a bad game and talk to them. Met some amazing neighbors. My kids were born that first year when I got traded here. We in August we just were pregnant with the first. My wife was pregnant with the first child, and so, you know, this transition to Columbus was this a whole different life for me, right? Like, it was a new beginning of, you know, having kids. And I was very thankful for it. Again, lucky that I was close to Pittsburgh where my family could come out all the time. It's pretty wild. I played my whole career in within a 4 or 5 hour driving range from the time. Yeah. Like, who does that, right? Like,
yeah, that's true.
End up in, like, you know, halfway across the country or whatever. But
yeah.
So yeah, you know, we had that first year in Columbus was you know, a good season for us. Mace came on early on that year. It was probably one of some of the best goaltending I've ever seen in my life. He was unbelievable. And made the playoffs for the first time in franchise history, and I remember how exciting that was. And we played against Detroit, who I think they end up losing the semis that year. They end up winning the next year, but we just weren't anywhere close to them. They swept us in four, and, you know, we realized that we had a lot of work to do. And so, you know, over the next few years, I don't think we kind of got to where we wanted to, and we had some turbulent years. Hitch got fired and whatnot, but those years in Columbus definitely changed my career.
Yeah. Do you happen to know who scored the first playoff goal in Columbus's history?
Yeah, yeah. Do you know who assisted it?
I don't.
Jakey.
No, he didn't. No, Jakey to you, eh?
So, yeah. So, Jakey and I played a lot together that first year. He was a rookie, and it was Jake Broussard and me. And we were pretty good little line.
That's right. Yeah, that's a good line.
We had fun. So, yeah, Jake went hard on the forecheck and turned one over and just centered it to me in front. And I did, like, a no-look backwards through the five hole. And yeah, that was the first. That's a good trivia question.
Yeah. Yeah. Baller, our boy Baller knew it. He's the one that came up with. I can't take credit for it. That was Baller. Yeah, that's great. I do remember, I looked at the rosters from the teams when you were there, and I Jakey and Brass too. That's cool. Guy. Well, was Jake a handful his rookie year, just like he was?
I mean, major handful. I mean, coming over from you know, being a Czech guy, coming over just like no clue about when to go to sleep and, you know, rest and stuff. I mean, he was just typical Jake, right? But I mean, same Jake where just like everybody loved having him, right? Like, he's such a great locker room guy. Like, you give him crap, or like, what are you doing, Jake? Like, you can't be doing that. Like, get to bed and, you know, get some sleep. Like, we're traveling, like, you can't be playing the next game when you haven't gone to bed yet. Like,
I've seen that.
You do need to sleep. I mean,
he was just such a beauty and such a good guy. And, you know, like, you got Commodore in that locker room.
I was going to say, Commie, yeah.
You know, another great team guy that we just all loved having. And, you know, Rafi Torres and, I mean, Pekka was on that team. And
that's right.
Obviously Nash and Jason Chimera. Like, these are just guys that were just great guys you loved hanging around with. So that was a fun year, that first year in Columbus.
Yeah. I remember Kami telling us something about Jake with his M&Ms or something. Fuck. I can't remember exactly how it went, but yeah, Jake, but that's awesome, man. That's you named some guys that played a long time in the league, man, that, had some serious experience. Must've been fun.
I mean, you almost teed it up for us here. You're in Columbus. You just mentioned Kami. What's the vibe like in Columbus right now? What's happening there? Obviously, it's, you know, the smoke is cleared a little bit, but from your perspective,
Yeah, what a week. It's a week here. It's been in Columbus. Typically this time of the year, it's Columbus is kind of out of the headlines, you know. You know, it's been crazy. You know, I personally kind of I'm not in the mix, right? Like I don't bother any of the players about this that are there. You know, I see them at the rinks, and you know, and a lot of us, a lot of them have kids that are, you know, playing with my kids, right? Like Dorsett and Bull that they coach, and you know, I see Nasher, and I see some of the guys that play here, and it's just like, you know, I Boone, you know, it's, I don't want to bother them about it. So, you know, I stay out of it. I'm just like any other person here watching it in the headlines and seeing it involved. But fortunate. I think there was mixed emotions from talking to different people when they hired them in the first place. You know, I think some fans, some parents were excited about it. Some were questioning it, whether it's the right move or not. So I think it was interesting to see how the year was going to play out with them. You know, my prediction was I thought it would have probably went well in the beginning, and you know, maybe his techniques and tactics with such a young team might have fizzled, you know, but I was anxious to watch and see what happened. And you know, I never predicted this.
Obviously
all of Kami, what he says, and some of the other stories of Franzen and Marner and all those things. So you know, I've known about it, but never predicted anything like this happening here. And you know, honestly, like, it's disappointing, you know, and I people ask me all the time if I thought it was true and all this, you know, before like he stepped down, and I said, you know, the players don't just say things. Like NHL guys are stand-up guys. They don't just start things and they say things for vendettas and whatever. Like if people are saying this, like if Spit and Chicklets are coming out saying this, like those guys got reason. Like people were discrediting them and taking shots at them. And, you know, I couldn't believe it. Like, I told everybody, I was like, if the players are saying this, like, you got to listen. Like, players don't just make up this stuff. Guys, like, NHL guys are honest, hardworking, truthful guys. Like, there's something to it.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah, I agree with that fully. Yeah, you're not going to just make shit up, even if you don't like the guy. But, like, to make a story like that up and for it to burn the way it did, like, there has to be some truth in it.
Yeah, I was – we talked about this before, RJ, like, when he did get hired. I'm just like, you're almost waiting for something. But I was I agree with you. I was like, it's probably going to start out okay, and then if they're losing, he can't handle that. Like, shit's going to start going awry. So, but it didn't get that. It didn't make it that far.
Game
so
in. Yeah, it's,
you didn't
it's,
get a
it's,
game.
It's unfortunate
in,
so. It had to go that way.
And yeah, in today's life, you know, with mental health and everything, it's just like such an important thing. And you know, to have a person in that kind of power, you know, playing any type of games with his players, it's just so disappointing. And, you know, he's a great hockey mind too. That's the sad part about it. Like you know, he's a guy that could be great for the game, you know, if he did things the right way. And I just think with mental health and everything, and from every age, it's just, it doesn't matter if you're an adult or not. It's just such an important thing. It's something to take serious.
Yeah, 100%. That's exactly what I was going to say. Nasty and I were talking before. It's like, you know, we're past that era of that type of coaching anyways, right? The fear-based coaching, you know, the demeaning, the dictatorship type of stuff. Like, there's several. I mean, there's got to be 20, 30 coaches available that could have easily snuck in that job. You know what I mean? It's just like, you wonder, like, when do you let go of that old guard and move on to like these more like real coaches, like communicators, you know, that empower you, not just like piss on you and stuff like that. So I always question the hiring, just like you mentioned there too. But yeah, it's unfortunate it ever had to go this way. No one could have anticipated that this would have ever happened. Just crossing that line in just different ways, I guess, right?
Exactly. And there's like Chief, like we know what kind of a coach he is. He's hard, but he just wants you to play hard. He expects it, but he gives you the respect. He's not doing any, he may get on you and you may get pissed off about it. There's nothing wrong with that. But like you said, it's a great point by you with the mental aspect of it. Why do you want an 18-year-old kid if he makes your team coming in and that's in the back of his head every day? You want this kid to like learn how to be a pro, become a pro, play hockey at his highest level. And I don't know. To have the balls to do that when there's all these eyes on you anyway from the way you've been portrayed, which is obviously true. it just doesn't seem like a very smart move, but it didn't last.
Yeah, well.
Yeah, I mean, this is different than being a hard coach, right?
Like, exactly. Totally.
And this isn't cancel culture or anything like that. This is different. Like, this isn't a coach that's like, hey, you got off the ice and you played piss poor. Like, hey, you need to get that puck in. He's yelling and he sits you for, you know, the rest of the period. Like, right? Like, or, you know, brings you in and does video and shows you what you did wrong and tells you you're not playing next game. Like, this isn't that. This is personal. This is going through phones, you know, personal's life. You know, Kami said it best, you know, what if this person that was gay or something, or what if there is, you know, secrets in this person's life that he's just not ready to share yet, and they're exposed, and then now this person can use it against them. Like, it's just it's just wrong on so many levels, and you know, it's very unfortunate that this has even happened in our sport. I think our sport needs more good stories, and it needs more it is such a good sport, and there's such good people in this thing, in this sport, that I think it just, to have this be the focus point for the last week or so leading up to a new season, it's just so disappointing.
I couldn't say any better myself. That's it. We need better. We deserve better, demand better, right? It's the only way to make the sport better and improve mental health, right? Because it's a hard game, but like as you said, these two separate things: hard coaching and completely blatant violation of privacy and respect is a completely different thing. So I think that's something we could definitely fix. Find solutions for sure. So
I gotta ask you this, Cheesy. I'm not sure. I should probably know this more than you, since I still live here. Is there still a burger named after you over in Philly? What was the name of that place? I used to go there all the time on South Street.
It was Phantom Hamburger.
Yeah,
because it was right after we won the Calder Cup.
I don't know
anymore. Yeah,
yeah, I haven't been there probably since we played that year. I don't go down to South Street anymore. But I thought that was great when they named the burger after you.
Of course you would.
Yeah, why wouldn't you?
Yeah,
you have to. I'm surprised they don't have that in Columbus somewhere.
They should.
Yeah, they should.
But the name just
perfect.
Yeah.
I got to ask you, we were kind of talking about coaches. Who would you say was your favorite coach growing up or in pro, anything?
Yeah, I think in pro it was Hitchcock. You know, and it goes again to what you said earlier, Riles, about just the honestness. You know, he told me how he expected it, and you know, he was honest with me. And then if I went out and I worked hard and I did those things that he wanted to see, he played me, and he was an honest with me, you know, back. So I think it's everything you wanted for me personally with the coach. There was no guessing. There was no head games. I said earlier how he you know, molded me into the player that I needed to be successful at that level. But I appreciated the fact that there were no head games.
Yeah.
He was very honest with you. Sometimes it was hard to hear. Sometimes it wasn't. But in the end, if you worked hard, he treated you the right way, you know. And the other beautiful thing about Hitch was too, and you've heard it a million times, guys, you know, saying shit to him on the bench and calling him an asshole and everything. And you could have those back and forth with Hitch. And you know, he understood the frustration that players went through in the heat of the moment. But, you know, nothing with Hitch ever carried on. Like, if something happened, like, you dealt with it right there, and then the next morning you move on and it's a fresh, clean slate, right? Like, he doesn't even remember anything from the night before. Oh, wait, you got into, you know, he doesn't even remember. Like, it's, let's go, move forward, right? So I appreciated that, because, you know, I dealt with some coaches later in my career that just a lot of head games, right? A lot of mental things, and, you know, it just, it's hard to play for. And for young guys, I don't know how any of the young guys do it, so.
Yeah.
But I know Hitch has been hard on young guys before, but I think he's always been fair. So, you know, like I said, I think there's a difference between mental games and being fair.
Yeah.
I agree with that fully. All a player wants to know where he lies, you know, even if it's hard to hear. But like, there's nothing worse than mind games and not knowing where you stand. You know what I mean? Showing up at the rink and you have no clue. You know, that is the worst. That's really, you talk about mental health. Like, you're really, it's beyond coaching. It's just like fucking with guys now. And the way guys communicate now, I think there's no excuse for that anymore. I think that old way, it was kind of like the old way, but guys are such good communicators now, coaches, you know, this, I think being transparent with the guys is expected, right? I mean, just let the guys know and then, you know, let it play out.
Just let the guys
respond. Yeah.
If you're in the lineup, tell us why.
Yeah.
Then give us the opportunity to go out there and work on those things and prove, you know, wrong. But if we don't know and it's guessing games and you don't know if you're going to be in the lineup this game or not and you're not willing to talk to you. And I mean, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what, Nazzy, how the end of my career went. Like, it was a little bit of that for me. And it's tough to come to the rink every day. Like, it's not fun. It's not fun coming to the rink when you have no idea what's going on. And, you know,
I remember, like, Cheesy is one of my favorite guys. And we were always shooting the shit. And, yeah, he's your back. I mean, you had injuries going, you were fighting and you were playing and you were working your butt off. And I remember you went had a bit of a goalless streak. And then I remember before one of the games, I was like, fuck, let's go, man. Blah, blah, blah. You know, just get him going. And he's probably like, shut up, Nas. But yeah, he was good about it. Yeah. Okay. And he ends up getting, he got the G-dub the one night. So I used to laugh because RJ would say some of the most fucked up shit to me. And I would just laugh. Shit, I won't even say. Like, just because he was kidding around. But I remember he comes in and I was fired up because he scored the G-dub. Yeah. I'm fucking hot. Give him a hug, high five, coming to the room, got the music going. And I was like, see, man. And he goes, yeah. He goes, I just got the G-dub. I probably won't even be in a lineup tomorrow night. I'm like, dude. I'm like, what the fuck's wrong with you, man? Can we enjoy this for 1 minute? But he would say, you know, he was being sarcastic. Yeah, exactly. But it was so funny. He used to make me laugh, the shit he would say to me.
But, yeah, sometimes I was a little bit an ass on some of the stupid things like that. But, you know, it was just a rocky year for me. I was going through so much, like, physically. You know, like, if I could go back, I would handle it so much of it differently. You know, it started at the end of my last year in Columbus. I remember somewhere around Christmas time, I just started having this dull pain and just, like, not feeling right. And my back just got worse and worse. And like, I went through a stretch of 3 or 4 years where I didn't miss a game here in Columbus. And like, I had that mental fight in me that, like, I can't sit out. I can't tell them something's wrong. I got to play through everything. And I tried to, and I remember getting to the point where my game started to struggle and, you know, I'm playing with also a bad hand and, you know, I ended up getting healthy scratched in Columbus. And it was just like, you know, what's going on here? Like, I need to start telling people how I feel. And, you know, then that year in Columbus, we never really looked into it. They didn't really take my back injury serious. They did a quick scan and everything looked fine, but there was something going on. And again, I went into that season, I started training and I just couldn't train right. Like I'm trying to get through this every day and I was so painful. And I knew that at that point that I was probably going to get moved from Columbus. So I was in a tough situation. It's like, you know, I got to be more open and honest about how I feel, or if I do, I'm probably not going to get moved, you know, and I'm probably going to be in a situation here in Columbus that's, you know, it's going to be rocky. And, you know, and I found out quickly that Philly traded for me. And you know, I feel bad about the way that it all went down because I probably wasn't as honest with them about how I felt, you know, the health of that I was in. And I think, honestly, I thought that I was going to get better. I thought that it was going to eventually go away. And I think right before training camp, it like got worse. And I remember sitting in there like, I don't know how I'm going to tie my skates. Like, I look down and I'm like, I was telling Vinny LeCavier, I was like, I can't tie my skates. Like, I can't. I'm in so much pain. And I just pushed through. And I was, every day coming to the rink was such a chore because I knew the physical pain that I was going to go through. And, you know, just the grind, like, okay, mentally, I got to get through this practice. And it shouldn't have been that way. Practices should have been fun, especially when, you know, Chief was the coach. Our practices were 50 to an hour, just snapping a puck around, guys having a good old time. And I'm sitting there like, oh, I got to get through this, you know? Yeah. So, and then I ended up having that surgery. I mean, obviously didn't have a good year. I got that surgery you know, I kind of went back to that thing. I came to Columbus and I was like, all right, what can I do to get better, right? So I hired a private skating coach, and you know, first time in my entire pro career, I'm working on my skating and just, you know, hammered it every day. We're going on the ice for an hour and whatnot. And I'm a guy in the off season, I typically would get away from the rink. I would do everything kind of like off the rink, you know? So here I am on the ice and everything. And I came into that training camp and I remember guys saying like, man, you haven't skated this fast and whatnot. And I felt pretty good, you know, about it. And the hip was responding because it ended up being my hip was causing me all these problems, right, with my back. I got off to a good start, like physically. And, you know, I remember blocking a shot in Winnipeg with my foot and breaking my foot and missed a month of hockey. And at that point, that's kind of where it all snowballed for me because like you said, I was in that goal drought, right? Like, and it became mental. And being in Philly, like, you know, people are going to let you know about it. Like,
yeah. I think
I ended the year with like probably 20 some games, right? And then now I'm starting the year with like, I'm playing really well, but I'm not scoring. And it's like, all right, how many games is this going to get to before you score? And then, you know, then I missed a month and it was just like, I just couldn't get right. And then unfortunately, then my, you know, the hip and back actually started to hurt a little bit again. And I started not as bad, but still wasn't right. And, you know, then I got to the point where, you know, with Haxtell, he wasn't going to play me anymore. And I finally scored too. And I was starting to feel some confidence and thinking like, okay, I can maybe turn this around here this season. And
yeah,
and the team was doing well. Like the guys were playing, responding. So, you know, putting me in the lineup just didn't make as much sense. And, you know, but I think as an athlete and the competitive person that I was, it's just hard understanding that. Yeah. You know, Vinny was going through things at that time too. And
yeah,
you know, I think it's hard to deal with it when mentally you feel like you can play still. And it's just, it was a tough time to come to the rink every day for sure.
Yeah, no doubt. Yeah. When the wheels start falling off the carriage, it's no fun, right? It's like, it really challenges the mental status and like you're only as good as the physical vehicle, right? So,
well, that's it.
Inevitable.
When you physically start falling apart, like there's nothing you can do about it, right?
Yeah.
It's a hard game, man. You're yeah, a big body too. And you didn't play soft. That's for sure.
Yeah, machines break down.
Wear and tear, man.
But yeah, you got to accept it, right? It's like that whole competitive mindset is kind of like thrown out the door when you physically can't do it, right? It's like, it's almost like you have to make some hard decisions, right?
Yeah.
It's kind of what you get squeezed into. So,
yeah, I think the disappointing part for me was I always felt like the way I played the game and I could play in all different roles, that I felt like I could have that last 2 to 3 extended part of the career by being a fourth line guy or a third line guy that penalty kills and plays, you know, 8 to 10 minutes, you know, chips in, you know, 5-10 goals, right? Like, and just be there for the young guys and a mentor. Like I wanted that part of my career. And I don't feel like I got it because I feel like it kind of abruptly came to an end because, you know, with all this going on, I still had a pretty hefty salary. So, and you know, the trade for Hartnell for me, like, you know, so, and there was a lot of contract left and, you know, Philly had no choice other than to buy me out. You know, unfortunately I didn't get to do those last couple of years where I felt like I could have just been a really good team guy for the young guys, you know, and a good like, just veteran guy. So.
Yeah. No, it's tough. Yeah. I could see how that went out for you for sure. Challenging for sure on the how you envision your career playing out, and you kind of have your version of what it looks like, and unfortunately sometimes it's not in your control. But
yeah, I think that's the thing you realize later on is that it ends abruptly for a lot of players, right?
Yeah.
You don't usually get to write your ending, you know, unfortunately Father Time's undefeated, right? And
yeah,
you know, once your time, you know, what I'm thankful and I'm able to look back now is that one, I had the opportunity as long as I did, got a lot of experience, got to play a long career, and I'm fully healthy now. Like I do everything that I want. I don't wake up in pain.
That's great.
So that's the best part right now.
Yeah.
I think I wake up in pain sometimes from some of my nights on the road.
Well,
I still think they're hurt me.
I mean, there's different types of pain, right?
Yeah, right? No, I'm kidding.
I can carry the groceries out of my wife's car now.
Yeah, right. There you go.
Do that.
Oh, So, you know what? Real quick, Cheesy, we were talking about some of your teammates. You named it Columbus. Funniest guy you think you ever played with?
Funniest guy. Ooh. Jakey's definitely up there. I think who else? Chimera is up there too.
Oh, really?
Chimera's a funny guy, but he was also like he would snap, right? Like his face would get bright red and snap, and he would just make you laugh when you know he's like totally pissed off. And that's like what's so funny about him, right?
Yeah.
Trying to think who else. I mean, gosh, there's a bunch of
there's always funny guys, but yeah. You're right, like Jakey, like I mean, he's hard to match. Michael Raffle's one of my favorite.
Yeah.
Like,
guys.
Raffy. But that's awesome, man. Dude, we appreciate your time so much. Cheesy, it's great catching up with you, man. Hopefully I'll see you here in this kid's hockey run. We come back up there a couple times this year, so we'll have to get together.
If you go out to Columbus to play the Jackets, let me know. I'll come out and watch.
Yeah, for sure. For sure, brother.
If you're ever in this neck of the woods too, let us know.
Yeah, some Flyer alumni. Maybe alumni stuff, game, man. Coming up.
Come back for that.
Yeah, I gotta get out there sometime for sure. Okay, yeah,
good. Definitely. That'd be awesome, brother.
Well, right. I appreciate you hopping on, Umby.
All right, thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Big thank you to our good friend RJ Umberger.
Big Cheesy, nice love that man.
Yeah, nice to reconnect. It's been a while
for sure.
Yeah, so wish him the best.
Yep.
His endeavors there in Columbus. And
Hopefully I get to run into him when Elvis's team, we go back to Pitt, not too far away. You never know, his team could be there. But, great catching up with him, man.
Yeah. So it's that time, Nas.
Is that time?
Oh.
Is it time for clear questions?
Oh, it
brought to
is
us?
Is it ever?
Oh, yeah, don't block it.
Block
by
it
Clear
up.
Rum, our good friends. If you are in the state of Pennsylvania, Riles, use the code NASTY2023 mm-hmm. and receive 35% off your order. That's an unbelievable deal. As you can see, I've kind of been drinking the...
You've been staying hydrated.
I've been staying hydrated.
Yeah, we got the cucumber left. Where's all the
order,
pash?
Got to order some pash? More. Yeah, I need the purple pash. It's good. But yeah, let's go with it, baller. Clear
all right,
questions.
Ready to rock.
Let's go. Anthony Giampaolo wants to know, who would have a better chance surviving towards his camp, Nasty or Riles?
Riggs, for sure.
I would agree with that.
Yeah. Riley would be able to do it. I would just be pissed off.
Yeah.
I would just be complaining. You would just do
legs,
it.
A stiff legs.
Oh, you're talking about the legs, too? Oh, the legs. I definitely couldn't do it, but I just mean I would be pissed. Because I'm like, why are we out here skating like this with no pucks? What does this mean?
Yeah. What does this mean?
This is not fun.
It's called mental endurance, mental capacity.
Yeah, I could be the best. I could be the most in shape athlete on that team, and because I'm no good, I still wouldn't play. Mm. So
that's a good point.
Okay. So why do all that?
Yeah,
all biscuits.
Yeah, right.
At least let them skate up and down with a puck. Some of them need work on
just
this.
Say I'm
as
passive.
Chief would say, Eags, just leave your stick on the bench. You don't need it.
No, just skate.
So
this move.
He used to say that to poor Ben.
Oh, man.
Anyway.
All right.
Mark Ramos over on Twitter wants to know, who are your breakout candidates for the Flyers this season?
I'm going Tippy.
I think
he's just going to – yeah, him and I think Farabee is going to come back around. I know Tippett turned on last year, towards the end of last year. Farabee kind of maybe dipped a little bit, maybe. But I think he can find that elevated game that he – maybe the year before that he was really stepping into.
Yeah, I agree. Joel was also, too. Remember, he came back very early.
Yeah.
And, you know, it was harder for the young guys with Torch, too. So I think a lot of night, like, they're trying to get used to, I don't know what you want to call it, but just his ways, I guess. But I agree with both guys you just said, and I'm going to throw Morgan Frost in there as well.
Yeah,
you know, Frosty. Got a new deal. And
little,
I don't want to say comfortable, but, like, okay, I'm here. I got the deal. Let's play.
Yeah.
And I thought he improved a lot last year anyway. And I think Torts actually likes him and trusts him.
It seemed like that towards the end of the year.
So I like all three of those.
Yeah.
Great question.
One last one from Justin Giampietro over on Twitter. Assuming Hart is the starter, how should the Flyers go about the backup situation with Ayerson, Cal Peterson, and Felix Sandstrom?
Man, that's a great question. That's what makes me wonder if something's going to happen during camp. I mean, Felix, well, all four of them are NHL goalies, Peterson makes what, $5 million? Are you gonna? There's no way you send Ersan and Felix down to the Phantoms, do you? Where they're splitting time. I just feel like something may happen.
Yeah, they might keep three for a while and see how this plays out.
But like the three you keep, who is it? Because you want Samuel playing, you want Felix playing. Cal Peterson's an older.
Yeah,
obviously he's been around. I'm not going to say he's old, but
I mean
it's a tricky thing.
Yeah, it's tricky for sure, and you can go into it with your vision and your version of it. But I think training camp is always, you know, we'll tell the tale, I think.
Yeah,
you know,
but I mean,
this guy's shit the bed.
You have four NHL quality goalies.
Yeah, we can't keep four,
I think,
right?
Carter's, mm-hmm. I still think Carter's the best there.
Yeah,
I don't think he'll get two. He'll probably only play like two home games. I doubt they even make him play on the road. But these other guys, I guess you just have to watch. He's but gonna, then yeah. What do you do? Like, can Felix be sent down? That's what I thought. So he can't be sent down without being claimed. You don't want to lose him for nothing.
Yeah, they're in a dilemma.
Maybe it's a good thing, though.
It's a good problem to have.
Right.
Unfortunately, a guy is going to get sent down and or claimed off waivers, probably. Yeah. Right. I mean, if that happens that way,
it'll be interesting to see. That's actually a really good question because
it's hard to say without seeing training camp, though, because you know, generally the things shake themselves out pretty noticeably. I think you know, guys that are clearly ready or you know earn your spot, maybe a guy that doesn't earn a spot, but. And then things quickly change after that. Guy shits the bed, and the other guy's playing well. You've seen that before, right?
Yeah, so for sure.
We will see. Good question.
Great question.
Yeah. And that's a wrap, Nast.
That's it.
126.
Well, wonder where you'll disappear to now.
Well, back to Burning Man.
Men's League. Desert. Men's League Sunday, don't forget.
Yes.
Game Sunday. Don't forget.
All right. Got you.
You'll be there, right?
Give me the hair.
You're saying it right now? Yeah. We'll need you bailing.
No pressure.
Okay, don't be giving away injury reports either like you normally do.
It's upper body.
Backs, little step. What? Yeah. Can't do that.
I can't do
anyway.
That.
Anyway.
Well, that's a wrap. Until next week for 127. Appreciate you all listening. Subscribe. Check us out. And we will see you next week. Stay safe, knuckleheads.
See ya.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market. Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.